I love this guest for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is he's an all-round good guy. He's a good person. But he also is incredibly bright and competent and has been with whatever he has done. He is a former congressman. He is a former FBI agent. And the list goes on and on. And I'm going to say this, Mike Rogers, as I welcome you back to the program, because I'm never going to let you or Donald Trump, former President Trump, ever forget that the first time I pointed out what was, in my opinion, his first big mistake, a few, but his first big mistake was when he did not pick you to head up the FBI. Because you were under consideration, and you were the best choice. And guess what? I didn't even realize how much trouble he was going to have by going in a different direction and then having the FBI against him and work against him in so many ways. So I stand by what I said. By not picking Mike Rogers as the head of the FBI, it was one of the president's first mistakes that turned out to be bigger than I ever could have guessed. Glad I got that off my chest, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul W.
You remember that?
You've had some extra caffeine this morning.
Well, no, but you remember that, don't you?
Oh, I do. Absolutely.
It was.
I would tell you what, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today.
I guarantee it. I guarantee we wouldn't have people second guessing what was at the time, growing up and paying attention, a beloved agency of the law. They were the creme de la creme. They were the top. And now look at the way people think of the FBI. And unfortunately, rightfully so, when they're talking about the leadership of the FBI, not the agents on the street.
Right.
But unfortunately, the agents on the street are touched by this as well. Give me your thoughts, Congressman Mike Rogers, on what we've just witnessed and will continue to talk about, because there are more announcements coming out today about the attack on President Trump's personal living space there at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. I mean, this justice has always been about judgment. So can I give you, I'm going to tell you a quick story I learned as a 26-year-old FBI agent working organized crime in Chicago. And by the way, you're right. The agents that are out in the field, places like Chicago and Miami and New York, are doing real work against criminals who are committing pretty heinous acts against their communities, citizens in the United States. And so those folks are not a part of this leadership. Well, it seems it has slid to rot. It's really kind of mind-boggling. But when I was a young agent, I was going in, and it was one of my first arrests, and I arrest this guy. He was basically a low-level mobster engaged in a loan sharking operation. So he was, you know, they were providing money on the street, charging huge amounts of interest, and then threatening people. So he was a low-level guy. It was a serious charge, but was, you know, you have to put everything in perspective. And I was a young agent, so I handcuffed this guy in the back. And of course, we went in, in the evening to get this guy. So his parents his family's out in the front room as we arrest this guy, and I handcuff him, and I'm going to haul him out through the living room right in front of his family, out into the street, put him in the car. And I, you know, I'm thinking, I'm the FBI, and this is what you do. I just came out of the Army. This is what you're supposed to do. And I had a senior agent grab me and say, hey, come here for a minute. He said, what are you doing here? And I said, well, we've got him under arrest, and we've secured the subject, and we're going to take him out into the car. And he said, well, you know, his family's right out in there. He said, why don't we do this? Why don't you put those handcuffs in front of him, put your jacket over his handcuffs, and let's walk him out the back and slip him in the car. And I thought, well, why would I do that? And he said, listen, justice is best measured in terms of making sure that you solve a problem in the community. If somebody's bad, you got to go to jail. Somebody did something really awful, you got to treat them a little worse to get them to jail. Maybe you have to do that. He said, but this guy could maybe help you one day if you do this right. And it was just that one moment where you learn from being that tough guy on the street. You go, oh, you know what? That's really a lot of sense. That's a thoughtful, measured piece of justice, right? You didn't want to drag him through his family out into the car. No reason for that. It didn't serve any bit of justice to do that for this particular individual. So, and that's a judgment issue. And when I look at what happened, this is a failure in judgment. 100 days away from a pretty serious election, obviously people are on pins and needles already. We're split 50-50 in this country already. People are angry. And you went and did this. Is this the only way you could have gotten the material you were looking for? And Paul W., if you don't show harm, real harm to our national security that warranted this level of engagement with a warrant and going into the guy's house, then, by the way, it's not just a guy. It is a former president. You don't have to like him. You don't have to love him. This is a former president of the United States. It has implications not just here at home but around the world when you start doing these kinds of activities in the way they just did. That is a judgment issue. Now, candidly, I wish the president would have given back all the documents when the archive folks came and got them. That would have been the right time to do it.
Yeah,
that was maybe a bad piece of judgment there. But this was, to me, something's just not right in the culture of the senior levels of Department of Justice, by the way. This came out of the lawyer section. And, of course, the FBI just winked and nodded, apparently, and went along with it. This is really troublesome to me.
Well put, and I knew you would have a good summary. To have, and people still don't get it, because they don't like Donald Trump, so they think anything that you do against Donald Trump is a good thing. It isn't, and it's bad for the country, and I brought that up the first day. Other countries are looking at this. Some are laughing. Others are appalled, but it's not good for us to have FBI agents show up in the dark, lights flashing, guns drawn, when they're approaching a place that's already secured by our Secret Service. They're not walking into an ambush or a problem. They don't have to worry about that at all. And yet, guns drawn, by cover of dark, lights flashing. It's just unbelievable. At the former president of the United States' home, his personal home. Last night, former FBI Deputy Assistant Director, was it Turchi? I'm not sure, Mike. But he was a former Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI, said basically the culture of the FBI at the top is rotten to the core.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thought from an insider.
This came on the heels of what was some pretty bad decisions and bad judgment. They have let politics creep in to decision-making in the dispensing of justice. That can never, ever happen. It can't be because, and by the way, the problem was we had one party cheer and the other party say, what's going on? Well, guess what? This thing goes back and forth. And the same kind of people that are making bad political decisions about the dispensing of justice now are going to make that same decision against the other team later, I'll guarantee it. And so what you want to do is eliminate all of that. You know, one of the reasons I joined the FBI, because it was above all of that. It wasn't any of that. It was about duty, honor, and country, and fidelity and bravery, integrity, which is the motto of the FBI. And all of those things seem to have gotten lost the higher up you got promoted and you breathe that Washington, D.C. air. Apparently there's something bad there.
Something very bad. Everybody. Yep. I would recommend Alan Dershowitz's new book, The Price of Principle, Why Integrity is Worth the Consequences. That's his 50th book. And he talks about, among other things, the increasing tendency in politics, academia, media, and even the courts of law to punish principle and reward partisan hypocrisy. That kind of sums it up pretty well in the problems that we face as a country. What are you up to? We only have a few seconds. What company are you running now?
Well, I just joined a board at the Quantum Computing Company. This is going to change the way we do healthcare dispensing, optimization of really hard problems. Quantum computing is very close to being a reality in your everyday life.
Excellent.
That's going to change us for the better. See you, Paul W.